Let's go. It is time for the Auburn Daily Show Tuesday edition. I'm your host, Lindsey Crosby, senior baseball writer for auburndaily.com. Also the host of Locked On Elite Prospects, joined by the man, the myth, the legend, the editor-in-chief and founder of auburndaily.com, Zach Blackerby. Also host of Locked On Auburn, very, very close to what's the
10,000.
10,000 subs on YouTube. Let's get there. If you're not subscribed, go do that. But the thing that I want to talk to you about today, Zach, is we just finished the NFL Combine. And there's a couple pieces up on auburndaily.com about some of the guys, Colby Wooden, Derek Hall, things like that. But I want to bring up to you the case of Owen Papo.
It's interesting.
Because I've been looking at his results and I've been looking at his scouting report. And there's some not great stuff for Auburn in there, right? So you look at his combine results, 4.39 second 40-yard dash. Like one of the best for a linebacker. 29 reps on the bench press. Fantastic. Fantastic for a linebacker. The athleticism score, they have this thing with Next Gen Stats where they combine the athleticism score and the production score.
Right.
The athleticism score, 89, which 90 is elite, right?
Mm-hmm.
The production score, which goes off of college production, is a 68, which is solidly in average. And I want to read you the scouting report from Lance's early in NFL.com for Owen Papo and the overview of who he is as an NFL draft prospect.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, here. Undersized linebacker with impressive build, good speed, and long arms. Despite all of his traits, Papo failed to rack up impact production during his time at Auburn due to his lack of instincts and playmaking ability. He struggles to leverage the gaps and take on climbing blockers effectively, so a move to will linebacker, weak side linebacker, could allow him to play more run and chase, which suits him. He doesn't look like an NFL starter on tape, but third down and special teams potential will give him a shot at a backup role. So my question to you is, how is he such a physically impressive athlete, one of the most athletic linebackers Auburn's had in a long time, and yet doesn't even look like he could be an NFL starter?
Yeah, well, I think we all kind of saw this coming in, right? I mean, his recruitment, he was a five-star, was cloaked with how well this guy moves, and that's around when they started doing that spark testing, which to test how athletic you are, and he was like one of the most athletic guys at the time that was tested throughout all that. So I think we knew what we were getting with him, but over the course of his time at Auburn, like they put him at middle linebacker, they put him at Mike, and I mean I don't know if that was the right place to put him, but I certainly don't think that we took care of him. Like I don't think the Auburn coaching staff really set him up to succeed consistently. And sure, some of that is injuries, right? Like he had two unfortunate injuries, and then you ask the question like, well, is that who he is? Is he injury prone, or was it just an unlucky thing? I think that's the bigger question if you're an NFL team looking to draft Owen Papo. But his ability is there, and like I don't think he's afraid of contact or anything like that. If I'm an NFL team looking at Owen Papo, I'm questioning, is this coaching? Because I don't think coaching helped him. You know, his first step and natural instincts, like, You need a coach to develop those. And I don't think Owen did that, because you looked at, I mean, there's other guys that have heard their names called, like Deshaun Davis. Like Owen Papo has more ability than Deshaun Davis does. I don't think there's any like debate about that, but can he put it all together on an NFL level as far as what they're going to ask him to do? I think so. And some teams are going to love what he did at the combine and love that his ability is what it is, and he's fast and he's strong and can move laterally, and just kind of roll the dice and say, I hope we can coach this guy into a football player. Because right now, I think he was just an athlete that played football, and I think it can change. But, man, it's – the Harsin tenure really, really ruined Owen Papo, and it's unfair. You really hate to see it.
Yeah, and when I think about Owen Papo and think about him in the Auburn defense, you mentioned we played him at middle linebacker, and from the outside, you could assume that he's at middle linebacker so that he has almost to use a wide receiver term, a two-way go, right? He can go left, he can go right, he can go sideline to sideline. And it feels like that was the idea behind putting him in the middle, is he can be more impactful across the field. But so much of the game ends up being like they can run up the middle. He's only 225 pounds, which for us sounds massive, but obviously for a middle linebacker in college football was a little bit undersized. And so it feels like you don't have the right defensive tackle situation. You don't have the right scheme to keep him, keep blockers off of him. And so when you go in here and they're like, they talk about like he struggled to take on climbing blockers effectively. Well, Owen Papo shouldn't have to be facing a right guard. He shouldn't be facing a right guard in space. He should be, you know, playing as a weak side linebacker, and he has like maybe a tight end coming after him or a leading fullback or something versus a, you know, a 325-pound guard. And it feels like if you can go back and redo everything, there's better ways to use him on this defense than how we did. And so if he becomes a productive NFL linebacker, Auburn still gets to take credit for it, but it feels like they didn't necessarily do the work to get him into, to make him into an NFL starter.
Yeah. And I think he would have benefited more, assuming he would have stayed healthy, obviously, and been able to spend more time next to Zacoby. Because I mean, Zacoby's a true Mike, you know, you put him in the middle of the field at the college level and he was just going to eat. I mean, he did it several times as far as just racking up 100 tackle seasons like it was nothing. And I think Owen next to him would have benefited, but then he went on and, you know, there wasn't a guy next to him. Cam Riley, they wanted Cam Riley to be that dude, and he really, really wasn't. I think his first step is even slower and less instinctive. But physically, like, he checks all the boxes, but then he battled injuries too, Lindsay. And so I just don't think the linebacking situation over the last 2 years was really like well taken care of, which is unfortunate because that first year was Jeff Schmetting, who was supposed to be this, like, I mean, I think he was the best of the potato posse, but maybe his scheme was better than his like positional coaching. I don't know. And then, you know, his second season with Christian Robinson coming over from Florida, it's like everybody was screaming for Hugh Freeze to keep him. And I'm like, I don't know if you really want that. And you can say he's a good recruiter and all that, and that's cool, but I don't think the linebackers played particularly well last year. And so I think there's a lot of upside with this position group moving forward. But with Owen, we're really lucky that he loved Auburn as much as he did, because I don't think Auburn did him any favors.
No, and going through the strengths and weaknesses, I find some really interesting stuff here. So I want to propose a hypothetical to you, and this is strictly a thought experiment. There's obviously no way to check this. But looking at some of the strengths, they talk about the acceleration to burst and close on a running back.
Yeah.
Dropping quickly and finding proper zone depth and coverage, awareness of routes to and reading the quarterback's eyes. And then you look at some of the weaknesses, sitting on the second level and waiting for the action versus attacking the line of scrimmage. Production near behind the line is lower than expected. Would Owen Papo, in retrospect, been a better draft prospect if he had come into Auburn, maintained the size of 215 or 220, like when he got here, and played strong safety?
There was some talk about that when he committed, that the NFL saw him more as an NFL safety, and that's what he would play at the next level. Gained a little bit of weight. 225 would be a heavy safety. You still see it, but it would be a heavier safety. I think he moves like a defensive back. I think he moves more like a defensive back than a linebacker. I don't know if he has that innate sense of like coverage and spacing, but I mean, I think that can be coached. I don't know if he would have gotten that at Auburn either. So I'm with you. He's great at blitzing. He's great at rushing the passer too. Like, could you put him outside more just to see if he can kind of generate more pressure? We didn't see that a whole lot. I think there's a lot of things you could have done, but that's not what Auburn did under Schmetting and really under Mason either. They just kind of played base and said, hey, you know, go do your job over and over again, and hopefully it'll be enough to win. And over the course of 60 minutes, a lot of the time it wasn't, when you played teams that were just as good as you, because I don't think the defense schematically did anything special. Him in this Ron Roberts system would have been fun. It would have been really, really fun to see him in the system, but sadly, we won't get to see it.
Yeah. Should have, would have, could have. It's one of those things like, we'll never know the answer to this, but you can just kind of imagine, or maybe you can even go find a copy of NCAA 14 and just kind of make it happen on your own and experiment with it that way. That's always fun to do.
Sure.
In just a minute, I want to cover this week in Auburn sports, specifically basketball. I'm sorry, baseball. A lot of stuff coming up.
Yeah.
But first, today's episode sponsored by our friends at NordVPN. Staying safe online is an ever-growing difficulty, and you are susceptible to being exploited by hackers. And so using NordVPN is a fantastic way to ensure your privacy. You can change your IP address, makes you harder to track, but also gives you access to different region-locked programs and things like that. I may know somebody who was a big baseball guy who gets MLB.TV, the streaming package from MLB that gives you access to every out-of-market game for Major League Baseball, as well as most games in the minors. And obviously, if you're in the broadcast area for the specific team that you want to watch, you can't get them on MLB.TV because they go by IP address. But if you use a service like NordVPN, I've been told that there is a way to disguise or change your IP address so that you have the ability to present as being somewhere else, and then you can watch the team that you want to watch in the broadcast area and be perfectly fine. So if you're someone who could use a thing like that, now that March Madness or basketball or Netflix has these weird rules about password sharing and all of that, then just know that NordVPN is giving Auburn Daily listeners and readers a special deal, and you can check out the links in the episode description today for more information and to sign up. Again, thank you to our friends at NordVPN for sponsoring the Tuesday episode of the Auburn Daily Show.
All right, I want to talk about this five-game week that Auburn baseball finds themselves in. And I'm interested to see how this goes, Lindsay, because I think the biggest glaring weakness of this team so far, because the offense is kind of overachieved, in my opinion. I think you agree, too. They certainly performed better than I thought they would at this point of the season. Mm-hmm. Is the pitching. And when you play five games in a week, like, that is brutal on your bullpen, brutal on your starters too. But just as far as managing pitches and seeing who steps up, it just seems like, Lindsay, we're waiting for two or three other guys to potentially step up. And I think this week could be a great opportunity for somebody to find a really key middle relief role on Saturday or Sunday throughout once SEC play hits, which isn't far away. What are you expecting from a pitching standpoint over these five games this week?
So I think the first thing to mention is you're almost assuredly not going to have Joseph Gonzalez. This will be the second weekend you're without him. Just a reminder, it's a recurrence of that sore shoulder that he had in spring. Same injury he had last winter as well. So going to miss this weekend. So you kind of have to find five starters now. And we know who it's going to be in the midweeks. We know that grad Tommy Vail, the lefty, is going to be the starter against UAB tonight. We know that tomorrow night at Jacksonville State, Connor Copeland, the lefty, will be starting then. But here's the biggest example of your point about having to figure out who's going to be the guy at pitcher. You have played 11 games. To qualify for statistical awards, you need to average one inning pitched per game to qualify for a lot of those awards. And right now, at this point in the season, Auburn has exactly two pitchers that are qualified as averaging at least one inning pitched per game. One of them, true freshman Zach Crotchfeldt, he had two relief appearances the last two Sundays, and then he was a starter on the most recent Sunday. Looked pretty good. I feel confident there about what he can do.
You're getting about three or four innings a pop out of him so far.
Yeah, which has been enough so far to keep him qualified, to keep us in the games. And then behind him, or I guess technically in front of him on innings pitched, your number one innings pitch guy, reliever John Armstrong. He has 12 innings in 11 games. Wow. So over six appearances. So he's pitched in over half of your games already. Also leads your team in wins. He has four wins on this team because he keeps picking up multiple wins over a weekend.
Everything's been so close late in games.
Exactly. He comes
Bauman's,
in close.
Bauman's close to having enough innings pitched, right?
He is. He has 10 full innings, and I expect him to be one of the starters this weekend. If I had to place a bet right now, I'm thinking Tanner Bowman's going to go back to being your Friday guy again.
Yeah.
They felt good about his first start last week. Something where the fastball is, as Butch Thompson calls it, it's survivable. That is the big thing right now when you're trying to start.
I love how honest he is.
He's like, what you're looking for is a survivable fastball, and then you can mix in secondaries. And by survivable, he means it's competitive. You don't throw he has a name for it, and I can't think of it right now, but cripple pitches. You don't throw a cripple pitch. Most extra base hits to Butch Thompson are thrown, not hit. And so you don't throw a cripple pitches. You have a survivable fastball, and you're able to mix in the secondaries enough to be effective. I expect him to be one of your guys. I expect Zach Crotchfeld to be one of your Saturday guys. The question is, until you get Joseph Gonzalez back, which we're hoping it will be for Arkansas, you may see him do a brief appearance in relief early next week just to make sure he's ready, if he's ready to go. Who is that third guy on the weekend? There's a lot of questions there. I thought it could have possibly been Tommy Vail. He throws tonight. So Christian Herberholtz has gotten the last two starts. It's been a little rough, 8 1/3 innings, 9 runs. Excellent. So, Chase Isbell looked really good in relief. He looked pretty not great when he came out as a starter. Chase Alsup has had a couple starts, one a little iffy, looked fantastic in relief. To finish up, I think it was finishing game two or finishing game three.
What about the kid? What about the kid from Troy? Started the first Sunday, looked so nervous. I hurt so bad for him. What's his name? I'm blanking
Drew
on his
Nelson.
Name.
Drew Nelson.
What have we seen since that really rough debut for him?
So he came in one more game, got a little bit of time, but it hasn't, like, he pitched against USC, went 1 2/3, gave up about 4 runs on 4 hits, 1 strikeout. And it's something where he didn't pitch last weekend. This, to me, just kind of knowing Butch Thompson the way that I do, it feels like this is one of those situations where they spotted something they wanted him to fix. They're going to put him in the garage, and then he's going to reemerge sometime later this season as a much more effective pitcher, similar to what John Armstrong did last year. He pitched early, he went in the garage, pops back out, and looks phenomenal. Kind of feels like what you're looking for with Drew Nelson.
Because you like Nelson, don't you?
I liked him. Watching him in spring, it was fantastic. There were some of the squad games. There was one squad game I remember in particular. They made this rule. This was the idea of Darren Schoenrock, the pitching coach, where 2 balls equal to walk. And I asked him about it later, and he said, these kids have to learn to get hit. They have to learn you can't avoid the zone at the SEC. You have to throw into the zone. You have to be willing to get hit. And so Nelson goes out there in response and throws 4 shutout no-hit innings. He's just tons of weak contact, tons of ground balls, eaten up by the defense. And so it's I don't think it's a big adjustment, but there's some sort of adjustment that has to be made to get him in it. And so Saturday is going to be your big question. Who's that Saturday starter in place of Joseph Gonzalez? But when you head to Arkansas, if I'm putting money on it now, I'm guessing Tanner Bowman, Joseph Gonzalez, and Zach Crotchfeld are your 3 guys for the weekend. And then you'll have some questions this weekend about where does everybody line up, given some of the injuries we've seen and things like that.
Yeah. You can find all of Lindsay's work covering these 5 games at auburndaily.com. We have live blogs. We have your takeaways. We post highlights. If you want Auburn baseball coverage, it's the best place for any Auburn baseball coverage, but also one of the few places where you can get it for free every single game. So auburndaily.com. Follow Lindsay on socials at Crosby Baseball. Also, listen to his podcast, Locked On MLB Prospects, wherever you get podcasts in on YouTube. Follow me on socials at Z Blackerby. Check out my show, Locked On Auburn, wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube. This has been the Auburn Daily Show.